What's going on, everybody? It's Slay Diddy, a.k.a. Professor Slay, a.k.a. Mr. WGXC, and you are listening to WGXC Acre 90.7 FM and WGXC.org. Listen in, y'all.
Network, this is the news. This is the network. This is the news. This is the network. Network.
I'm Tom Rowe in Acre, and you've tuned into the WGXC Morning Show. We've got all sorts of songs and sounds and stories for you today. We're going to hear music from Brasskill ahead of their show Friday night at the Avalon Lounge in Catskill and broadcast on 90.7 FM. We're going to hear brand new music from Chris Forsythe this morning. We're going to hear from Alexis Goldsmith of Beyond Plastics about how July is plastic-free July. And we're going to hear the national headlines from the Public News Service and a local Better Weather from the Catskill Maker Syndicate. And it all starts after the local news, which is next on the WGXC Morning Show. Stay tuned.
The waves controlled on air, in air, channel connection, and the moon turns to blood. A stream runs through. This is the network, network. This is the news. This is the network. This is the news. This is the network, network. This is the news. This is the network. This is the news. This is the network, network.
You can find all about the Hudson-based circus, the Bindlesif Family Circus, on the WGXC community calendar. They're hosting the Bindlesif Circus's Summer of Joy 2022 in Hudson with five different programs for youth ages 6 through young adults, including circus art intensives for youth and participation in the Hudson Black Arts and Cultural Festival Parade. Also work on costume design and fabrication. They host the Hudson Juggling Club at Waterfront Wednesdays in Hudson, and a restorative justice facilitation training with the Hudson Youth Center and the Restorative Center of Newburgh. These programs run from June 29th to August 24th. You can find out more on the WGXC community calendar online at wgxc.org.
WGXC underwriting support is provided by the First Presbyterian Church of Hudson, a faith community open to all. Whether you are single, married, divorced, gay, wealthy, poor, or no habla inglés, if you are just browsing, just woke up, or just got out of jail, it doesn't matter if you work on Wall Street or if you sleep on Wall Street, you belong. We love soccer moms, crying babies, vegans, hipsters, seekers and doubters, tourists and locals. All are welcome. Services held Sunday mornings at 10:45 a.m. You can find us on the web at firstpreshudson.org.
WGXC is made possible in part by the generous ongoing support of Cochrane Media of Cairo, New York. WGXC's sustaining supporters are among the station's most dedicated listeners. They care deeply about creative community radio, and their investment helps to sustain WGXC as a public platform for information, experimentation, and engagement in Greene and Columbia counties. You, too, can become a sustaining supporter by going to wgxc.org/donate. Thank you for your support.
We interrupt this broadcast to bring you a special news bulletin.
Stay tuned to this station.
Stand by for news.
Direct via satellite from our on-the-spot task force.
Good evening from our newsroom in New York.
This is
Daily News and Weather Report.
From the WGXC newsroom, this is the WGXC Hands-On Radio News Update. I'm Philip Grant.
This is Tom Rowe. You can go to the newsroom at WGXC.org for more information about anything you hear here. Jeanette Wolfberg reports for the Columbia paper that the Hudson Housing Authority Board of Commissioners on June 22nd bid farewell to interim executive director Nick Zakos. The new executive director, Jeff Dodson, succeeded Zakos on June 27th. Zach has joined the authority as interim executive director in October 2021. Quote, it's been my honor to be with this board, unquote, he said. Quote, it hasn't been easy, unquote. But Zach has said he was grateful for the experience gained working with the authority's tenants and commissioners. Quote, I'm really excited that Jeffrey is coming on, unquote, Zach has said. Quote, he's going to bring a new level of professionalism and experience to the job, unquote. Board Chair Ravonda Smith thanked Zakos for his service. Zakos also thanked the Hudson Catskill Housing Coalition and its anonymous donor for, quote, what they've done for our tenants, unquote, by paying the tenants overdue rent. Zakos also reported that school children under the direction of teacher Bridget Smith had painted a mural facing the ball court across State Street from Bliss Tower on June 17th. Turnout to celebrate this event was great, he said. As for life after HHA, Zakos plans to start a building company that focuses on developing building skills. The Hudson Housing Authority manages the 135-unit Bliss Complex, which includes the high-rise and three low-rise buildings on 2nd Street in Hudson. Read more about this story in the Columbia paper.
Ted Remsteiner reports for Columbia Green Media that during a heightened mental health crisis, the Greene County Mental Health Center in Cairo is not taking new patient appointments because of staffing shortages. Greene County Mental Health Center Director Jason Friedenberg on July 6th said, and I quote, currently the demand for our services is really quite high. We're very much struggling with staffing shortages. It's hitting us very hard. I know it's hitting businesses all over the place. The mental health community across the state is struggling with it as well. We have a number of vacancies and very few applicants. So we're at a point where we're really having a hard time keeping up with the demand that's coming in, end quote. Friedenberg's office said it's still complying with the state law. He told the Greene County Legislature, and I quote, we are still required and are able to see all people that are discharged from the hospital. By regulation, anyone that's being discharged from a psychiatric unit we need to see within 5 business days. We will continue to see those folks, end quote. But members of the public who call for help are being sent elsewhere. The Greene County Mental Health Center has hired 2 new staffers that come on in September, but no other solution to the staffing shortage was reported. Read more about this story at HudsonValley360.com.
Melanie Lekasevic reports for Capital Region Independent Media that the Queeman's Town Board will conduct a hearing July 14th to receive public comment on a proposal to extend water and sewer lines in the hamlet. The proposal calls for expanding the sewer and water district to include an area in the eastern part of town along the Route 144 corridor in southern Albany County. Properties that would be added to the expansion include the Queeman's Industrial Park, the Port of Queeman's, the Beers Industrial Property, and JAT Construction. The project has been in the works for more than a year. Quote, a lot of this already has water and sewer, certainly the industrial park does, but it was never formally brought into a district, unquote, Town Supervisor George McHugh said in January. Quote, so this is twofold. It is correcting the sins of the past and at the same time expanding so that the rest of the Route 144 corridor, at least up to the Lafarge property, is in the water district, unquote. Under the proposal, approximately 4,500 linear feet of 8-inch PVC would be installed for the sewer main plus manholes. For the waterline extension, 4,500 linear feet of 8-inch water main would be installed along River Road and include hydrants. The cost of both the sewer and water extensions would be borne by the companies involved and cost the town nothing, according to the resolution approved by the board. The waterline extension is expected to cost each of the 4 properties within the district approximately $18,000, and the sewer line would cost roughly $24,000 each. Read more about this story at theupstater.com.
Michael Del Rey reports in the Times Union, Governor Kathy Hochul says there has been a surge in patients visiting New York for abortion services since the Supreme Court allowed states to ban those procedures, and New York taxpayers will spend $25 million to expand staffing at abortion clinics in the state. Previously, Hochul signed 6 new bills with additional protections for abortion patients and providers, some specifically aimed at those coming from out of state. Hochul claims many women are coming from Ohio and Pennsylvania for abortion services in New York. Read more about this story in the Times Union.
Andrea Macco and John Miller report for Porcupine Soup that multiple fire departments responded to a blaze at an apartment building late July 10th on Lower Main Street in Catskill. The building sustained damage, but it was not a total loss, and firefighters kept the fire from spreading to nearby homes. At 11:24 p.m., the Catskill Fire Company was dispatched to 194 Main Street following a report of a porch fire. The three-apartment building had been vacant until just recently. Flames were visible on the back of the structure's second floor when the fire company arrived. Quote, this fire had already run the interior walls and taken control of the attic space in the rear half of the house, unquote, according to the fire company. Quote, the blaze was a labor-intensive interior fire, and the four departments involved did a great job working together. We spent a lot of time working hotspots due to the many renovations and layers these homes go through over time, unquote. In addition to Catskill, responding fire companies included Hudson, West Athens, and Greenport, as well as Catskill Ambulance. The Greene County Fire Investigation Team is looking into the cause of the blaze. Quote, the owner had other arrangements for the night. Again, another home was saved, and a homeowner was happy he didn't lose everything, unquote, Catskill Fire Company reported. Read more about this story at porcupinesoup.com.
Kate Lisa reports at New York State of Politics that in her State of the State address in January, Governor Kathy Hochul promised to fully staff the state parole board. But it is now July, and the board still has just 15 of 19 members, the same as before the pandemic began. The governor appointed one new parole commissioner who the state Senate confirmed, Darrell Towns. But member Eric Berliner's term expired June 18th, so there are again four vacancies on the board. Former parole board commissioner Carol Shapiro said, and I quote, frankly, I think a fully staffed parole board, I don't even know what that looks like because I didn't experience it, would make a big difference in morale with parole board members, but also more efficient for people coming before the board, end quote. Hochul and the legislature did allocate $7.5 million to fully staff the board in the latest state budget, but still have four empty seats. Jim Urso, Hochul's deputy director of communications, said, and I quote, we are actively reviewing candidates to be nominated to fill the four additional seats on the parole board, increasing the board's capacity to hear cases, end quote. The story says, without all the seats filled, fewer people in prison get parole hearings. Tiana Taylor, co-director of policy and communications with the Release Aging People in Prison campaign, said, and I quote, when they don't have the time to really dig in, it can lead to needless denials of parolees, and it can leave folks languishing behind bars for at least another 2 years, end quote. And the Fair and Timely Parole and Elder Parole Bills to reform the state's parole system did not make it out of the legislative committee this past session. The parole board meets next on July 25th. And you can read the full story at New York State of Politics.
And that wraps up the WGXC Hands-On Radio News Update. For local weather reports, public meetings, and other community information, use the WGXC website, WGXC.org. From the WGXC Newsroom, I'm Philip Grant. Have a good day.
Here is your weather update. Your forecast for the next 2 days. Well, on Wednesday, mostly sunny with a high near 85 degrees. Wednesday night, isolated showers and thunderstorms before 7 p.m. It will be partly cloudy with the temperature low of around 62 degrees. And on Thursday, isolated showers, then scattered showers and thunderstorms after 2 p.m. It will be mostly sunny with the temperature high near 84 degrees. And Thursday night, scattered showers and thunderstorms before 8 p.m. It will be partly cloudy with the temperature low of around 59 degrees. And that is your weather update from WGXC, 90.7 FM, radio for open ears in Greene and Columbia Counties.
Thank you.
Wednesday, July 13th. Tune in to all sorts of creative community voices on the air at WGX 90.7 FM, including at 11 a.m. Maria Manhattan's in the Hudson Cafe, live from our WGXC Hudson studio in the basement of the First Presbyterian Church. At noon, we go live to Main Street in Catskill, where Spike Priggen produces his Bedazzled Radio Hour for 2 hours from the Spike's Record Rack, his record store in Catskill. 4 p.m., we are live from Acre, and we'll hear from Green County artist Portia Munson about her show at Art O' Mine in Ghent. That's called Flood and is up through September. At 7 p.m., we'll go live to New York City. We simulcast the Off the Hook show from the Hacker Quarterly 2600 on WBAI and on WGXC. And then at 8 p.m., we go live to Catskill, live from the Avalon Lounge, with performances from Michael Cormier, band Onlyness, and the other band, Armbruster. Tonight from the Avalon Lounge in Catskill and on your radio, 90.7 FM, WGXC.org.
To get a local event mentioned on All Together Now, go to WGXC.org and click on Add an Event at the top of the page, and copy and paste the information about your event in the boxes. Let's all get involved in our community. See what's going on at WGXC.org in the community calendar.
The legendary 1970s, early 1980s band Bush Tetras from New York City are back, with founding members Cynthia Slay and Pat Place performing with R.B. Corbett from King Missile and Pussy Galore and Steve Shelley from Sonic Youth on a tour this summer that stops in Kingston on July 23rd at Tubby's. The show is at 8 p.m. July 23rd with the Bush Tetras, and you can find out more on the WGXC community calendar online at WGXC.org.
If you can't make your local town meetings but want to attend, WGXC can help. Currently, local volunteers make recordings and live web streams of the Catskill Town Meetings, the Hudson Common Council Meetings, and the Columbia County Board of Supervisor Meetings. If you miss the live web streams, volunteers post recordings of these meetings as soon as possible at WGXC.org on the newsroom page and in the audio archives. If you're going to local meetings and you have a phone in your pocket, you can help too. Email info@WGXC.org and WGXC will help you share recordings of local meetings and events. You can also use the free WGXC app, available in the App Store, to do your own live webcast from local events. Contact info@WGXC.org for more information about how you can help share valuable local information about your community with your friends and neighbors.
Hello and welcome to the better weather for Wednesday, July 13th. Early morning temperatures range from 60 degrees in West Durham to 65 in Germantown. Soil temperature is 68 degrees. Today starts out cool but a little muggy. As the day goes on, it gets warmer, hitting 86 degrees at 3 p.m. After 5 p.m., chances of rain enter the region, then get stronger after dark. A low of 61 happens just before dawn on Thursday. Rain keeps on going all day with some afternoon thunder mixed in. A high of 83 happens at 3 p.m. Rain ends by dark and we see a low of 59 degrees. Friday, dry and clear with a high of 83. And Saturday looks very similar, clear and dry with a high in the mid-80s. But Sunday, things get rainy again. Pollen levels for today will be medium. Today's tide schedule is high tide at 2:50 a.m., then low tide at 9:52 a.m. High tide again at 3:25 p.m., then low tide once again at 9:55 p.m. Today's river temperature will be 76 degrees. Sunset today will be at 8:17 p.m. Sunrise tomorrow will be at 5:27 a.m. Looking way up, we see flare chances are subsiding along with sunspot activity on the sun today. Solar wind speed is currently 518 kilometers per second at 8.3 protons per milliliter. Radio propagation conditions are currently terrible till dark, then fair across the board overnight. The 24-hour predicted KP index is 5, storm level, and the current sunspot number is 117. And this has been The Better Weather, brought to you by the Catskill Makers Syndicate.
WGXC is made possible in part by the generous ongoing support of Jeff Economy of Kingston, New York. WGXC's sustaining supporters are among the station's most dedicated listeners. They care deeply about creative community radio, and their investment helps to sustain WGXC as a public platform for information, experimentation, and engagement in Greene and Columbia counties. Become a WGXC sustaining supporter today. Go to WGXC.org and click donate. Thank you for your support.
Hi, everybody. This is Timmy Whippoorwill calling to you live from inside the oak tree. Please give what you can to WGXC.org/donate. Check it out. Their webpage is live. It's fresh. It's exciting and new. Even us here in the Whippoorwill community approve of such a place. WGXC is here for you. So why don't you be there for them?
German measles, Russian flu, Montezuma's revenge. And why do we say a foreign word whenever someone sneezes? Tomorrow, I'll take a look at swine flu, up close and personal. This is Les Nesbitt.
That was 2022 new music from Chris Forsythe from Philadelphia. The song was called Experimental and Professional from his album Evolution, Here We Come, with Forsythe on guitar, along with Tom Malik, Doug McComb from Tortoise on bass, and Ryan Jewell on drums.
You're listening to the American Democracy Minute, keeping your government by and for the people. We have state updates for you on voter ID restrictions in Pennsylvania, ballot tracking in Arizona, and the banning of drop boxes in Wisconsin. First to Pennsylvania, where a statewide ballot initiative just got its initial approval from the General Assembly, which would ask voters to show government-issued ID when voting, either in person or by mail. Government-issued ID sounds good, except for those who might not have one or have the money to get one. And the by-mail option would require that you make a copy of your ID and send it through the U.S. Postal Service. Copies are a barrier for the elderly and disabled. The bill must be passed again in the 2023-24 session to be on the ballot in the 2024 election. In Arizona, Governor Doug Ducey signed SB 1411, setting up an infrastructure for voters to track the status of their early mail ballots by the end of 2023, enhancing its current system. In Wisconsin, however, mail is your only option for returning mail-in ballots. The right-leaning Wisconsin Supreme Court has found that drop boxes are not permissible under state law, despite the fact that some municipalities have used them for years without incident under the guidance of the Wisconsin Elections Commission. The ruling also prohibits the delivery of ballots to the clerk's office by anyone other than the voter. Sorry, Grandma, I guess your vote just doesn't matter. We have links to articles and groups taking action at AmericanDemocracyMinute.org. For the American Democracy Minute, I'm Brian Beal.
Welcome to 2022 Talks, where we're following our democracy in historic times.
And people can battle it out in these laboratories of democracy as to whether they want to protect fetal life over the interests of the pregnant person. These are the same states that are stopping people from voting.
Cal Berkeley law professor Kiara Bridges testifying before Senate lawmakers on how states with the most restrictive abortion rights are also the states passing stricter voting laws. The Senate Judiciary Committee held a hearing to examine legal concerns after a recent Supreme Court decision overturned Roe v. Wade. Senate Democrats on Tuesday introduced the Freedom to Travel for Health Care Act of 2022, legislation that would make it illegal for states to limit individual travel for abortion services. Democratic Washington Senator Patty Murray.
Let's be really clear about what that means. They want to hold women captive in their own states. They are trying to punish women and anyone who might help them for exercising their constitutional right to travel within our country.
In a letter to federal health agencies, Health and Human Services Secretary Javier Becerra warned that hospitals and physicians who refuse to provide abortion services to save the life of the mother, even in states with abortion bans, under these circumstances would face the loss of Medicare funding and financial support for other state health programs. Abortion to save a mother's life is federally protected under the Emergency Medical Treatment and Active Labor Act. The January 6th committee held its seventh public hearing on the attack on the U.S. Capitol, with a focus on the Trump administration and its alleged ties to extremist groups who stormed the Capitol. Maryland Representative Jamie Raskin.
When Donald Trump sent out his tweet, he became the first president ever to call for a crowd to descend on the Capitol city to block the constitutional transfer of power.
NASA officials, along with President Joe Biden, unveiled the first full-color images from the James Webb Telescope. Here's Vice President Kamala Harris.
And now we enter a new phase of scientific discovery. Building on the legacy of Hubble, the James Webb Space Telescope allows us to see deeper into space than ever before.
Twitter said Tuesday it's suing Elon Musk for trying to back out of his $44 billion acquisition of the social media company. Twitter is asking the court for an expedited trial in September. Surveillance footage from the May 24th mass shooting at Robb Elementary School in Uvalde, Texas, has been published by local media outlets. The video includes scenes from outside the school, hallway footage showing the moment the 18-year-old gunman entered the school, and parts of the police response. I'm Nadia Ramlagan for Pacifica Network and Public News Service. Find our 8 trust indicators to support transparency and accuracy at publicnewsservice.org.
Would you like to do a show on WGXC?
Would you like to do a show on WGXC?
Would you like to do a show on WGXC?
Would you like to do a show?
Interesting, boring, really boring.
It would be about wonderful things. It would be about
chocolate pigs.
She's obsessed with pigs.
Chocolate pigs?
Awesome.
All the way down.
But only dogs can hear. Did you hear that?
No.
Next, we have an interview from
WOOC.
To learn more about this program, the Sanctuary for Independent Media, visit us online at mediasanctuary.org.
Thank you, Bria. Alexis Goldsmith joins us live. She is our plastics correspondent. We're going to talk about July being a plastic or plastic-free July. It's Monday. If I could English, so I'll just introduce you, Alexis. Thanks for joining us.
Thanks for having me back.
So tell us about plastic-free July.
Plastic Free July is an international kind of rebellion against the single-use plastics that inundate our lives. It started in Australia, and the challenge is to go a month without using any single-use plastics. A very difficult challenge, indeed. And it has spread around the globe and expanded to also encompass upstream solutions. So I've said on the show before that individual action is important, but we really need policy to stem the flow of single-use plastics. So people and organizations now leverage Plastic Free July to push for those policy changes.
What kinds of policy changes do you see will be the most effective, and what are some actions we can take?
Right. So single-use plastic bans are a very important tool. Canada just banned several different types of single-use plastics, and they will be phasing those out by the year 2025. So good job, Canada. Very proud of them. New York State has a ban on plastic bags, though not all stores are yet in compliance. And we also have a ban on polystyrene, which are those, styrofoam is the brand name, the takeout containers, those foam peanuts that you get in like your e-packages, your online deliveries, single-use straw bans, cutlery upon request. I'm sorry, single-use straws upon request. Banning balloon releases, that kind of thing. And then there's extended producer responsibility for packaging. So packaging is a huge part of the single-use plastic problem. Almost half of all new plastics are intended for single-use packaging. So extended producer responsibility laws can require producers and major consumer brands to actually reduce the amount of plastic that they're using in their packaging. And we have a bill in the New York State Assembly introduced by Assembly Member Steve Englebright. It's AB 10185 that would require producers to reduce their packaging by 50% in the first 10 years. So that's huge. So those are the kinds of laws that policies that we're looking at. We also support the Break Free from Plastic Pollution Act, which goes even further and puts a 3-year moratorium on new federal permits for new plastic production facilities, which are being built every year in the United States, and a big driver of this problem because plastics are made from fossil fuels. So they make up a huge part of that fossil fuel market. So there are lots of policy tools that we have.
Alexis Goldsmith joining Bria Barthel, myself, Blaze Bryant, here on Hudson Mohawk Magazine. You do a lot of work in this space. You work very closely with Judith Enck, who is just one of the best environmentalists we will ever see. Why is it that Canada is ahead of us when it comes to making these sorts of changes?
I think it's honestly the petrochemical industry in the United States has massive political influence, undue political influence on our laws and regulations. So much of the plastic that is produced in the U.S. is produced from fracked ethane gas. And it would hurt their profits and hurt their business models to ban plastics in the United States. Even though we are the largest producer of plastic waste, we throw out the most amount of plastic trash, more than any other country per capita.
So I'm going to take advantage of talking with you. One of the ways that I try to move away from single-use plastics is reusing plastic containers, like from Chinese takeout and stuff. And then I wondered if washing those in the dishwasher contributed to the microplastics in the water. Is there a problem with that? Are reusable plastics okay?
Reusable plastics are better. I don't recommend reusing single-use plastics because of the chemicals that can leach into your food. They're less stable than the reusable plastic containers. If you can do like glass, Pyrex, or stainless steel takeout containers, those are much better and safer in terms of you're eating less microplastics and you're eating fewer toxic chemicals.
What other suggestions do you have at the personal level for what individuals can do in changing their habits?
So when you buy new clothes, look for all cotton materials. Clothes are a big contributor. Clothes and fast fashion are a big contributor to microplastic pollution. When we wash synthetic clothes, microplastics run off in our washing machine, millions of particles of microplastics every time you wash your clothes. So one, cotton and linen don't have plastic in them. So look for, like, on the tag, things like any synthetic material is usually a petroleum-based fabric. What are some other things you could do? Don't drink bottled water if you can avoid it. Use a reusable water bottle. One of the top pathways for ingesting microplastics is from single-use water bottles, and that goes for like pop and soda products as well. And if you can avoid just plastic packaging in general at the grocery store, if you can do bulk, if you have access to that kind of thing, that's generally a way to protect yourself from ingesting plastic. But the fact is that there's so much plastic now in the environment breaking down into microplastics that it is permeating our food, our air, our water, it's in beer, it's in honey. It's in the air that breathing.
All well and understood, Alexis. We just because we have about 90 seconds here, and I gotta follow up with this. You know, being a person who's completely blind, I rely on those plastic tags to figure out if I'm wearing my shirt correctly. So I just wonder what the alternative is then, because the tags that you can't feel, the ones that are better for the environment. Kind of, sometimes I inadvertently look like a fool because the shirt's on backwards. I don't know what the solution is.
Oh, I'm sorry. I'm not referring to the tag on the clothing, just the material that the clothing itself is made out of.
But aren't the tags made of plastic, though?
Yes, they are also. But if you can get like a cotton material, that's even better. But in the last minute here, I do want to say that for Plastic Free July, we're encouraging people to collect their plastic packaging and take it back to the grocery store where you got it from, to draw attention to just how much plastic accumulates from packaging. And there's going to be one in the Capital Region. It's going to be at the Market 32 on Delaware Ave in Albany. It's being hosted by Capital District Zero Waste. And that's happening Saturday, July 23rd at 10:30 a.m. So again, that's at Market 32 on Delaware Ave on Saturday, July 23rd at 10:30 a.m. in Albany. People will be taking their plastic packaging back. And it's not meant to be confrontational to the store. They're not leaving the waste for the store to clean up. It's more to ask Market 32 to take steps to reduce the plastic that they're using by doing things like installing more bulk options.
And you said that's the Delaware Avenue.
Yes, in Albany. Okay. Yeah, Market 32 by Price Chopper.
So yeah, right there on the corner of Madison and Delaware. Yep.
It seems like there's a trade-off, going back to the plastics, because I love my polar fleece. It seems there's a trade-off that cotton things wear out faster, but I guess we'll talk about that in a future episode. I see we're out of time. So
sure,
thank
I would
you,
love
Alexis.
To talk about that in the future. Thank you for having me.
That interview was from
WOOC.
To learn more about this program, the Sanctuary for Independent Media, visit us online at mediasanctuary.org. In the WGXC community calendar online at WGXC.org. There's all sorts of things to do and see online and appear in person, including some are both, like these. The WGXC has a partnership with the Avalon Lounge in Catskill. The Avalon Lounge has several shows. We'll have live webcasts and also WGXC 90.7 FM broadcast this week. There are some Avant Folk performers and nearby genre figures Michael Cormier, Onlyness, and Armbruster performing Wednesday, July 13th from 8 to 11 at the Avalon Lounge. That should be live on 90.7 FM as well. Thursday, July 14th, Hudson Valley-based composer Joanna Matry will perform, and also the experimental band Gloyd. That's from 7 to 11 p.m. Thursday, July 14th at the Avalon Lounge in Catskill. Live webcast at WGXC.org will be available, and an hour of the show, 8 to 9, will be broadcast on FM, 90.7 FM. And then Friday, July 15th, three brass bands from the Hudson Valley perform at the Avalon Lounge in Catskill. What? Brasskill and Fat Boys Brass Band all perform Friday, July 15th from 8 to 11 p.m. at the Avalon Lounge in Catskill. WGXC will broadcast on 90.7 FM the hours 8 to 10 p.m., and then you can keep listening to the full show at WGXC.org. There'll be a live web stream of the entire show at WGXC.org. So check out those three shows at the Avalon Lounge in Catskill. Turn out or tune in on 90.7 FM this week.
2017 new music from Chris Forsythe and the Solar Motel Band. The song is called Have We Mistaken the Bottle for the Whiskey Inside from the album Dreaming in the Non-Dream.